Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. We got a lot to get to today. Another prize to give away. You know what that means. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. The latest on the LeBron sweepstakes and what I think we should do to sweeten the pot a little bit here. A lot to discuss. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia. Just remember, every now and then, you can't make everybody happy. Just can't try to make everybody happy, man.
Is this like a pre, like,
no, I'm just saying, like, you know,
greasing
you
the skids for Hugh's Clues or
no,
something?
This is like no offense,
but. You can't make everybody happy, dog. Just, that's all I'm saying. It's okay. Not greasing skids for anything. It's just like you just can't make everybody happy.
Okay.
That's all.
It's the show equivalent of saying, with all due respect.
Is that
because
what it
the
is?
Next 4 hours are going to be disrespectful.
I'm sorry you're not going to be happy with my takes today. But
I mean, you just can't make everybody happy, man, so you shouldn't even try.
That's all right. I kind of like that. All right. Well, Hugh, the Phillies have tried, and they've tried it well. And they've tried and played really well for the most part since Don Mattingly took over. Last night, notwithstanding, that was not a good game. Ron Hell stunk, and the bullpen was even worse. Can we just DFA Tanner Banks at this point? I mean, get that guy out of here. So tough night for the Phillies. Schwarber, it's a home run. But Hugh, the real story last night with the Phillies did not happen during the game. It did not happen after the game. Hugh, the real story happened before the game. Don Mattingly was speaking to the media, and he spoke about the idea of managing this team beyond this year. And it was the first time he said it like that. And I think we should take everyone through the timeline of this, because this is changing, Hugh. It is changing in front of our eyes how Don Mattingly talks about his job here, his role here, and the future of his role here. So let's look a little kind of a timeline here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to spring training. We had Don Mattingly on. We were the first show to have Don Mattingly on. Of course, he was the bench coach then. Phillies bench coach Don Mattingly. And we asked him, like, hey, is this it? You know, Phillies bench coach, the last stop in the baseball journey? Or do you think maybe you'd want to manage again? Now, in the back of my mind, was I thinking what is happening was a possibility? Yes, I was thinking that. But mostly I was asking because he's in his 60s. He's been around baseball a long time. He's managed a lot. You know, I just wondered what he thought about his future. Here's what Don Mattingly told us in March.
It's hard for me to say never says never now. Yeah. I definitely don't see myself managed. I don't think I have the energy for that, honestly, at this stage. That job is a ton of energy. There's a ton before the game. There's after the game. It's all year long. It's an energy level that I don't really feel like taking on that challenge, right? I like what I've been doing the last few years. You know, let Tomps answer the questions why we did this or that. I'll make a suggestion. He gets to answer it.
All right, so that was in March. It said, never say never, but I don't think I have the energy to do that. All right, so we took that at face value, and then, you know, a month and a half later, he's managing the team. Now, last week before a game, the Bulldog, Dave Uram, said, hey, Don, you guys are doing really well. Have you thought about, hey, what all that means and your future and managing, and what does it feel like to be managing this well again? Here was Don Mattingly 1 week ago.
It's kind of like, I still like keeping it simple and us playing good baseball. And that's really what interests me as much as anything. I feel like I've kind of accomplished a lot of things on the field, off the field, been manager the year before. So that's not really, like for me, it's us playing good baseball is really, and watching guys play good baseball is really what kind of brings you back. The field part is really what excites me as much as anything. So I kind of leave it at that and see what happens.
All right, we'll see what happens. That's 1 week ago. But this is the one last night, Hugh, that caught our attention. Before the game last night, the game being broadcast by ESPN, asked by Buster only about managing beyond this year, here is what Don Mattingly said.
The idea is brought by the Phillies about you managing beyond this year. How would you feel about that?
Oh, I would do it. I kind of committed myself to 2 years with the Phillies when I came over. So, you know, whatever Dave wants to do in that regard. But, yeah, I think I would like to do it.
It's changed, Hugh. It went from never say never, but I don't have the energy to. Yeah, I'd like to do it.
Well, the thing that really jumped out to me is when they said he committed for 2 years. So the whole Alex Cora thing, it kind of makes me wonder how viable that really was. You know, and I know that, you know, this is a fluid situation.
Right.
It's one of those things that the ebb and flow and things change as we go through this. It's interesting because that's not – it feels like the more we go down this rabbit hole, the more information we're starting to get when we hear it. I'm okay with that. I think he has an end. You know, his son's here. You know, and this is a conversation that has – you know – by him saying that lets you know that there were layers to this conversation.
Sure.
And that, you know, potentially there was you know, an opportunity maybe 2 years, maybe beyond that. But he said he committed to two.
So when I heard that, I think my thought was he signed a 2-year contract to be the Phillies bench coach. Now he has a different role now. Like yeah. He committed to the Phillies for 2026, 2027. Hugh, here's where I'm at on this. I'm a big Don Mattingly fan. I think he's done an incredible job so far. And if I were the Phillies, I would take the interim tag off him. I said that last week. I think he's earned that the way he's managed. Let him just be named, let him be the manager, not the interim manager. But I don't think he's a lock at this point yet to be the team's manager next year. As much as I might want it to be, maybe you want him to be, I don't think he's a lock yet. There was a story just a couple days ago that Alex Cora still looms out there as Dombrowski's guy, that people think that Alex Cora is what Dombrowski wants. When the Phillies named Don Mattingly the interim manager, Dave Dombrowski stood up there at the podium and said, yeah, I tried to get Alex Cora first. And when he said no, I said, all right, Don, you're the guy. So that hovers out there. The way I view it is this. If Don Mattingly gets the Phillies to at least the NLCS, I think he's clearly the manager next season. NLCS or World Series or win the World Series, that one's easy. But like if they get to the NLCS, I believe he will be the manager. If they do not make it that far, so they go out in the wild card round, if they go out in the division series, I think it's up in the air. And I still think Dombrowski to go after Alex Cora. Hugh, do you think it's a lock? Like if you close your eyes and picture the 2027 Phillies, whenever next season starts, hopefully it does start. But like whenever you see that starting, do you see Don Mattingly as the manager?
I do. And I think that he has an in. You know, his son's here. His son's in the GM role. And I understand the fact that his son is not the one that's making the plays or whatever. But he's Don's biggest cheerleader in the clubhouse. So I think there's that. Now I hear exactly what you're saying. You don't wanna make it a situation where, you know, it feels like it's a lock, but I honestly feel like he has a leg up on anybody else that's coming in here because he's managed this team up until this point and they're comfortable with him. You know, they're playing better with him. The one thing that I've seen, even in the loss yesterday, the bats are starting to wake up a little bit. And I think that's directly attributed to him and what he's been able to do. So, yeah, I think he does have a leg up. He's the closest thing to it being a lock that you can be in this situation.
You know, if the Cora thing wasn't there, like if he was still the Red Sox manager or he had signed with the Mets already, or like if he just was not available, then I would probably lean closer to where you are and say, of course he's going to be the manager. They're going to find someone that they could put in here that they think is better. And then, you know, how could you move a guy off that's having so much success, blah, blah, blah. The Cora thing still looms to me. I mean, everyone in baseball just thinks that Dave Dombrowski and Alex Cora are just meant for each other. So we'll see where this goes. I think Don Mattingly is still managing for his job. I mean, and it's weird because when you have success the way he has and the way he's managed and the way they've responded, you would think, oh, of course he's the manager. I don't think it's a lock. 215-592-9494. I also wonder why his tone has changed. Do you think he's trying to get them to do something here? So he's human, right? Like, just like all the rest of us. He might, or his son might, see the same stories that we do, that Dave Dombrowski wants Alex Cora, and that people still think Alex Cora will be the next Phillies manager. Hewitt, it has been a shift. I mean, he could have easily kind of pushed aside the questions from Dave Uram or Buster only last week. He could have said, hey, I'm just focused on today. He didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It feels to me like there might be something strategic about what Don Mattingly's doing. Like, hey, I'm putting it out there. Like, hey, I want to do this. Let me do it. 215-592-9494. Do you think Don Mattingly's a lock to be this team's manager next season? Kyle, where do you come down as his... Clearly the message from Donnie Baseball has changed a little bit in the last few months.
Yeah, he's all wound up or cranked up, as Marple Mack would say. I love Don Mattingly. I want him to be our manager next season. I wouldn't lock in anything. I wouldn't guarantee anything. I wouldn't take the interim tag off of him this year. We had this conversation last week where I like the way he's managing now, and I don't want to really do anything to mess with that. Like, at this point, I don't think that's going to happen. Pretty sure they're going to let him play out the whole year like they did with Thompson in 2022. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll go back to the World Series again. But, you know, we also have to live in reality here. There is a world where, you know, what if they get bounced in the wild card and Mattingly isn't a good manager in the playoffs? Like, we don't know that, right?
Yep.
What if there's a world where we get swept in two games by some team in the wild card? And we're sitting there going, what the hell was Mattingly doing? Like, kind of like we were with Thompson pulling Wheeler in the World Series, Game 6. Like, you know, we could all end up being mad at Don Mattingly by the end of the year. And I also think with the Alex Cora thing looming out there, don't you think there's a possibility that, you know, even if, I don't know, say whatever, wild card, division round, something like that, or even NLCS, even the World Series, I'll say, what if Dave talks to Mattingly after the season and he's like, you want to be our bench coach for Alex Cora?
Well, that's awkward, isn't it?
Well, I guess.
It could be.
But Mattingly also, like, you know, he's wound up now about it. But who knows if when the dust settles at the end of the year, he's like, you know, maybe I don't. Maybe I was right initially in my first thinking that I sort of like falling back. And I'm comfortable with just falling back again. I was the interim. I'll go back to being the bench coach for Alex Cora. I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's also a possibility. There's too many different possibilities out there for me to say he's a lock to be our manager.
I agree. Man, that would be real backup quarterback vibes. Can you imagine it? Because he said he signed for 2 years. Could you imagine if they do bring in Cora, bump Mattingly back to bench coach, and then we're off to a slow start next year? You know what people are going to say.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
Don's right there.
Yeah, I don't think. That's why I think he has a leg up, because you can't. You've made him the interim, right? He's here and he's making strides, similar to the ones that Topper made when he first got here. You know, since what I've been told or what I've heard about. But the guys are responding to him, and I don't think you can do that. If you're going to let him be the manager, let him manage. You can't tell him, you know, that he's going to take a step down if you bring somebody else in. I don't think that's the right thing.
I think that'd be really awkward. 215-592-9494. All right, let's have the conversation. Do you think Don Mattingly is a lock to be this team's manager next season? I don't think he is, because the Cora thing still looms, and they haven't even taken the interim tag off.
So I don't know if it's as awkward as you guys make it out to be. Like, if you're hired to be, I don't know, how many interims don't end up becoming the manager? I would have to assume some of them still end up staying on the staff.
How many times? You know what? That's a good question. How many times do interim guys actually get the job?
Yeah, or like when they don't get the job. Like,
I mean, it's
interim
for half
year. They get passed over for somebody else. How often do they stay on the staff?
I have an example.
Do you?
I
mean,
a kind of a funny one.
Okay.
But I think the difference is how vocal Mattingly's getting.
Sure.
Like when Jack sat in the chair before Spike came in, Jack was kind of the interim co-host of the afternoon show. And Jack stayed is part of the afternoon
That's
show,
right.
And they have great chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
It works, right?
Yep.
But I don't remember Jack
just tucked his tail, and
he did. I don't remember.
Took it.
I don't
you
remember
just,
Jack on the
just
air.
Had to put that in there, huh?
I don't remember Jack on the air, and that was 2 months it was.
Yep.
Saying over and over, I want this. I'm not moving out of this seat.
Imagine he said it on the air.
If Lakin will have me, I want to sit in this seat. He didn't do that stuff. Mattingly's doing it now.
Maybe he should have.
Well, he might have thought it.
Well, okay. To be fair to Mattingly, was it prompted when he was asked about that, or did he just offer it up?
No, it was prompted. It was if the Phillies came to you and wanted to make you the manager, basically kind of what I think it was Hugh Buster only probably saw or heard what he had said in spring training that he doesn't have the energy. Well, now you're doing it. Basically, has your mind changed?
Yeah, you know, the competitive juices get the flowing, things of that nature, and you want to do it. So it's probably has changed a little bit for him since that time.
Of course it has changed. Also, I wonder if he wants to put a little pressure on them to take the interim tag off. I mean, like, he's managed well for 2 months, right? And it's like, oh, yeah, you're still the interim. He probably is sitting there like, hey, name me the manager. I'm the manager of the team, and we're doing well. All right, let's go to the phones. You all right in there?
I'm totally fine.
You're not fine. 215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown is up. What's up, Chris?
Welcome to Hugh's House of Horrors. More clues today, huh, Hugh?
I kind of like that. Yes, it is Hugh's House of Horrors.
Let me get my notebook.
Yeah, I love how you get the notebook. Yeah, you might as well burn that thing. I love how the skids are already greased for the, you know, next stop, folks, the rubber room. Because, oh boy. Hugh, though, you know what, Hugh? Rest easy, my brother. I'm done ripping you. Hey, flip-flop Giglio.
No, it's not a flip-flop.
Listen, I love
not
how
a flip-flop. Hold on. Hold
today.
On. Time out. Let's make it clear. I would make him the manager, but just because I would do it doesn't mean the Phillies are. So I would do it, but I don't think this is a lock yet. The Phillies aren't treating it like it is.
You're a fraud. Listen, your true colors are coming out today. You have always, since the very beginning, been throwing shade all over Donnie.
Not true. Not true.
Like, remember back in May, yes, Hugh remembers this. Back in May, there was a show, and you said there's no way, not a snowball's chance in HE double hockey sticks, that they were catching Hugh's Braves. You said it wasn't going to happen.
Right,
you said there's
no
way
they'll like
be 500 before the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You were nothing happened. You were proven wrong. Mm-hmm. Because you know what, Joe? Here's the deal. I see with my third eye what's going on here. Because all Don Mattingly has done since he's taken over his team is win. That's all the man does is win. And you know what, Joe Giglio? this, you can't even show any respect to the man. Now all you do is throw shade on him. You don't give the guy any credit. I mean, he's a winner, Joe. It sounds like another person in the city that you don't show any respect to that just does nothing but win. And you know what? Now you want to support Dumbo Dombrowski?
No, that's not what I said.
Baseball intellect? No, oh, yeah, you do, because now you're talking about Alex Cora, because that's who Dumbo was. You know what? Next, we're going to hear Joe Giglio coming on these airwaves supporting Trey Turner and saying he was a great signing.
Well, let's not go that far. I mean, come on. Let's have some semblance of reality here.
We're in the rubber room. We may as well go all the way, all right? So listen, and stop with the Cora nonsense, because he's going to the Mets. And you know what? I will leave you guys with this thought. Here's what's going to happen. If Donnie Baseball gets signed, which a smart person would sign them, if he gets signed before the end of the year, that's letting you know where Dombrowski stands. He's on his way out the door.
Mm.
Stay safe out there, man. And God bless you, Delaware Valley. Get ready for Hughes Clues.
You got it, Chris. We appreciate it. Listen, maybe Chris didn't grasp it, but I'm going to try to explain it again. So yes, Chris is right. And the day you were out, Hugh, Kyle and I had a discussion on whether we would take the interim tag off. I said I would. I would take the tag off. I think he's earned that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would do and what the Phillies are going to do are two totally different things, right? Like, I'll use a different example, and I think you probably fit into this, Hugh. You could say you think Jalen Hurts will be back next year. You think he should be back next year, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think you think it's a lock he will be,
nah.
Right? Because you don't know how he's going to play or what the Eagles are going to do. I think this is similar. Like, I want Don Mattingly to be the manager of the team. I like Don Mattingly. He's done a really good job. I would take the interim tag off. But the interim tag's not off. He's the one out there basically campaigning for himself to keep the job. And the Alex Cora thing still looms. It's still there. The guy that Dave Dombrowski wanted 2 months ago is still a free agent. So I don't think this is a lock, even though I might want it to be. I might want Mattingly to be here. But if they go out early in the playoffs, I wouldn't rule out that Cora is still the manager.
You know what? Allow me to recklessly speculate for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I see this, this is how I potentially see it going. Now, I don't have any intel on any of this, so I don't know if it's true or not. But think about it like this. You're going in for a job interview, Joe, and initially, say you wanted the job, and initially, you're like, hey, well, you know, that they want somebody else
right.
for the job, but you take it reluctantly.
Okay.
And initially, you're in that space, and you're like, hey, you know, I'm just going to do it until you find somebody else. But you have somebody that's on the inside that's telling you, hey, you're in a good position. Right now.
Just keep going.
Just keep going. If you keep stacking these wins, you're going to be in position to get this job. So now, with that information, like, because I look at it like this, and follow me, because from the time we talked to him, from the time he talked to Dave Uram, into this last conversation that he had, talking to Buster Olney. Was it Buster Olney,
right?
It was
Buster, yeah.
You see how it has shifted. And I think the conversation has shifted because he's gotten more information about the way that he's been performing. And, you know, I'm talking about his son. Son's upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're talking about the way the team is performing and where they are right now. So I feel that's why the conversation for him has changed, because he has insider information. You know what I mean? That's what it kind of feels like, because it kind of coincides with the way the team has been playing. And you see as you talking about from the beginning of the season to the middle when Dave Uram talked to him till now, they're in a good spot. Save the game that they had yesterday. And, like I said, we're starting to hit the ball a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to hit the ball a little bit better. So it's trending in the right direction for them. So that's why I feel for him, that's why it's changed all of a sudden.
Yeah, it might have. And look, he has the right to say what he feels, right? That's just the way he said it to us in March. I don't know. I don't have the energy for it. To now, like, yeah, I feel good. It also, it may have his mind may have changed, Hugh. I mean, all of this may be just complete, just true what he feels, like honesty, right? Like March, he may have said, I don't think I'll ever manage again. And then once you get back in that scene, you're like, wait, I can do this.
Just like riding a bike.
Yeah,
and then
right.
You got, for lack of a better way of saying it, your cheerleader say, hey, Dad, management really liking what you're doing right now. You're in the front running. You know, hey, it sounds like we're going to try to make some things happen. I mean, who better to tell you what's going on upstairs than your son?
Well, and their results will really control this no matter what. Like, we could find a line, like, say, well, obviously if they win the World Series, he'll be their manager next year, right? And none of us know what the line is. Playoffs, one round, two rounds. I think if they get to the NLCS, he'll be here next year. But obviously, we have a pretty clear view of this because we just did this 4 years ago, right? Rob Thompson he was an interim. He wasn't supposed to be the manager. In fact, he told the team he was about to retire before that season. He had one more year left in him, and he said. And then he gets the team to the World Series, and it was like, well, he was here for 4 years. So we could be heading down a very similar path. 215-592-9494. Do you think Don Mattingly is a lock to be the manager next season? He said he wants to be. Hugh thinks he's a lock to be. Where do you come down? Also, we have a prize to give away again, which means, yeah, you know what we're going to do. And we'll address the problem with the Phillies roster coming up. It was on full display. Whew! Last night. Tough one. All right, we'll discuss it all. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
One is lifted to right. Blade back to back to back. Three in a row for the Reds. And they have blown it open here in the fourth.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the music's appropriate for this.
I mean, when you go back to back to back, you blow it up.
You go back to back, you own something.
It's a story if that happens. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Yeah, last night was rough out of that bullpen. Really, the whole pitching last night. So they bring Alan Ron Hell back up, right, to make the start. He didn't pitch very well. And then they go to the bullpen. Can we please just DFA Tanner Banks? I can't watch this guy pitch anymore. I mean, it's just meatballs he's throwing up there. I mean, he's getting rocked back-to-back-to-back home runs to the Cincinnati Reds.
That's the first time that happened all season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like back-to-back-to-back in one inning?
Whew.
Yeah, that's...
All right, so look, the Phillies are such an interesting team, Hugh, because when they're at their best, right, when their best players are at their best, they look great. They look like they can beat anyone, and they can. And they have, you know, six All-Stars. We think they should have a seventh with Zach Wheeler, who still hasn't gotten his way in, but maybe he will. Six or seven All-Star caliber players. But the bottom of this roster, Hugh, and the underbelly, that underbelly of the bullpen, the fifth starter, it's just so weak that, like, they have these nights where it's like, oh, my God, like, the weakness of this team is really weak. The strength is really strong, Hugh, but the weakness is really weak. And we saw it last night. The fifth starter, whatever that is, and then the bullpen guys before you get to Duran, just stink.
Need pitching. And you need a bridge. You need some bridges and pitching. Well, pitching, bridges. You need all of that.
Bridge the pitching the bridge, pitch the bridge, whatever.
Well, the wrong man. You need, you know, that sounded crazy too. You know what I mean. You need pitching.
I know. Yep. You know what we need?
You need a lawn man so you're not going back to back to back and blowing it open.
Yeah, that.
You know, but I need something in your eye.
No, my contact.
You gonna make it?
No, this contact come out. It's really gonna be bad.
Oh, boy. All right. You know what I need?
He's gonna crash out.
I need less Tanner Banks. I need less Jose Alvarado. Could we hear Don Mattingly last night, the manager on his left-handed pitchers out of the bullpen, who last night they exited the game, by the way. Tanner Banks, 7.14 ERA for the season. Alvarado now sporting a 7.03 ERA. Here is Mattingly.
What do you make of your left-handed relief situation right now?
Well, obviously tonight it didn't look very good. Really probably been searching for that more than anything through the course of this kind of season. So I think Mays obviously is throwing the ball probably better than anybody. Howie's been, I'd say, more inconsistent than bad. His stuff is still good. We were looking at it today, actually. The batted ball stuff is actually not bad. So I feel like he's probably been better than his numbers show, but still obviously he's been inconsistent with giving up runs.
I love the, well, he wasn't good tonight. I mean, he tries not to, he's trying to be real, which is they were not good last night, without, like, ripping them. But, like, what is he supposed to say? What do you think about your left-handed relief situation? Well, it sucks. I mean, that's the truth.
You know, it's funny. I thought about, we had J-Roll on the show last week, and when he talked about he's a player's manager, mm-hmm. That's immediately what stuck out to me. And Don's in a bad spot because you have to be forthcoming when you're doing these, you know, talking to the media. Right. But at the same time, you're trying to protect the player. And he did a tremendous job of doing that right there. You know, he talked about the question that was asked of him, Then he started talking about other positives that were on the team, but then he got back to it. So, yeah, when you pitch like that, you put him in a tough spot. You put him in a real tough spot.
Well, they're in a tough spot with this bullpen because – and we yesterday we talked about the stat that Scott France got on the broadcast a couple nights ago. Since the middle of June, if you – Duran's ERA is zero, and the rest of the bullpen's ERA is over six. It's not going to work. I mean, he can only pitch so often. You're usually only going to use him in the ninth inning, right? So you have a lot of innings, especially on these games where Ron Hell is pitching or whatever they're going to do with the fifth spot. You got to cover a lot of innings. And last night was just – basically the pitching gave them no chance to win the game. Ruben Amaro this morning was talking about the pitching and the idea of maybe Andrew Painter some point in the near future coming back to help. Here's Amaro on the morning show.
At some point you're going to have to get Painter back here, a revamped Painter, hopefully, and get him back here to eat up some innings. What I care about is the quality of the stuff and what he is doing mechanically to get back to where he was before he was injured.
Do you know if he's trying to do something differently?
I don't know, but I think that they are definitely trying to get him downhill, get him on top of the ball, and get him to drive the ball down in the zone more consistently and to extend. He's not getting the extension that he used to get.
Yeah, that would make sense. Something had to have been out of whack for him to become so bad.
Part of it is not part of it, I guess, is habit, is habitual, but also part of it is a guy maybe not confident in his overall health, that he might do this again. I mean, it might be in the back of his mind.
Sure.
Not everybody comes back from a Tommy John surgery and throws harder. I mean, everybody thinks that that's like a falsehood.
I do wonder now how long it's going to be until he gets back here. I mean, with the pitching issues they have, and you mentioned a long man, Hugh. I mean, you could easily make Painter the fifth starter again and put Alan Ronhell, who's not been terrible, right?
Put him in that long man position.
And then you kind of have him in case Painter has a bad start or whatever, and he could give you a bunch of innings because he pitched, you know, 3 1/3. I wonder how long it's going to be. So he's had two starts down there. It's been better, I mean, just numbers-wise, than it was in the big leagues, obviously. It's even better than it was for him last year at AAA. So I wonder, like, how much do they have to see before they say, all right, come back up?
You know what really jumped out to me when Ruben said is you just need him to eat innings. You know, just try to.
So we've gone from the best Phillies pitching prospect in two decades to eight innings.
And nobody heard that. He said, hey, we just need some innings to eat.
That's wonderful.
We just need an eater right now. We need somebody to eat some innings.
Wonderful that we have taken this guy from the best Phillies prospect in 20 years to just stand out there, dude.
Hey, just give me five. Well, don't do too much damage. Hold on.
That's not him saying that's what he is now the rest of his career.
That's what you need.
That's what we're reduced to for this season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Sure. That's what you need. I'm not trying to, you know, say he can't bounce back, but it's like, hey, man, give me what you got.
Yeah. Well, look, if we're talking next year and the year after he's an innings eater, then yes, we're lamenting the Andrew Painter thing. But right now, that might be best case scenario.
It might be. What's the priority, though, for him? Like, is his development the priority, or do we just need to soak up innings to get through the rest of the season?
Soaking up innings, I think. I think the way Rube said it tells you exactly what, because you're talking about a man who used to be in that position. And when I hear Rube talk like that, it makes me feel like he's in there and he's talking to him. He's like, hey, man, we just need somebody right now to bridge this gap that we have.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Turning this guy into Paul Bird over here in front of our eyes.
The jig is up with the Painter thing, right? Because I don't know what there is really at this point. If you were sort of in the middle of, would I trade Painter or that kind of asset to go in and try and win a World Series, give my team the best chance to win a World Series right now, I don't know what you're hanging on to at this point for that.
Mm.
Like, is the World Series not, now that we're in the thick of this freaking thing.
Into the thick of it.
Isn't going and trying, and I mean, like, you saw our bullpen last night. Are you that attached to whatever he is in the future now? Or do you want to try and take this thing seriously and give yourself the best chance
to
win the World Series?
Well, I mean, it's the second thing. I want to try to win the World Series. I also wonder how Painter affects the trade deadline plans. Like, if they think he can come up here and be a decent fifth starter and just soak up innings, and you put Ron Hell in the bullpen, maybe they're not going to get a starter then. Maybe they're just going to cross their fingers on Nola as their four, Painter back to being the five, Ron Hell is your depth piece, and then they're going to go get a bat and a reliever. I mean, they need a real relief pitcher, along with another starter and a bat. Every time I watch them, I'm like, man, they need so many things.
Well,
they really need like three or four things.
You know, say the Padres fall out of this thing by the deadline.
Mason?
Give them a call back and say, we made a mistake. We'll give you Painter for Mason Miller.
And they'll say, we don't like him as much as we did 1 year ago.
They're like, oh, that guy.
Yeah, maybe not. But I would do that trade in a heartbeat. 215-592-9494. All right, your reaction to last night, the bullpen situation. Painter and how quickly he's going to get back in this mix here. And specifically, and most importantly today, Don Mattingly, who last night said he wants this job. Do you think he's a lock to be the manager next year? I don't, as much as I like him. Hugh does. Where do you come down? Jeff in Wilmington up on WIP. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff.
Do you guys think that last night during that inning where the four home runs were hit, that Don texted his son and said, dude, seriously, is this all we can do? Is this the best we can do for real? Like, I can't with these guys anymore.
I would have if I was Don. Like, can we please get a pitcher here? Can we get somebody?
Yes. Yes. Now, you know, in that interview, I don't recall him actually saying, I want to manage for the rest of this year and the year after. He did say that he gave the Phillies a 2-year commitment when he signed on with them. So, to your point, Joe, about is he going to get re-signed for sure? I don't think so. And you know what? I don't even think it would matter to him that much. I think if there's a really good younger manager out there, whether it's Alex Cora or someone else, I think he would be okay with dropping back to the bench coach position.
Hmm. He might be, though, Jeff. It would be awkward here's where I think it would be awkward for us more than, like, I should just hear it next year. Let's say it's Cora or somebody else, right? And Mattingly goes back to being the bench coach after this season, doing a really good job. You know what's going to happen, Jeff? The first time they have a 6-game losing streak next April, we're going to be like, wait a second. Why isn't Mattingly just the manager? It's almost like the Nick Foles thing behind Carson Wentz.
Again.
Yeah,
just give him interim again.
It's kind of a weird dynamic to set up if this season ends with us feeling good about him, right? They make it to the NLCS or something.
Well, in that case, then they have to make him the permanent manager for next year because they don't want to have that egg on their face. But I honestly think that this is some situation where he just said, all right, I'll help you guys out. I'll take the team for the rest of the year. But I really don't want to manage, because I mean, he could manage anywhere he wants to. Any team would be lucky to have him if he really wanted to manage.
Right. And I think we got to the point of his career where people kind of thought he didn't want to do it anymore. And now maybe that's changed because he's having a good time.
Maybe. Yeah. Either way, they either have to, sign him or say, look, we're going to go with somebody else, and I don't know if he could stay with the team after that, if they say that. At the end of this year, they say, we're going after Cora, we're going to sign somebody. I if I'm him, I don't know if I would stay with the team because you might get put in that same situation again.
Yes, and to me, that's the Cora thing, and Jeff, good phone call. Hugh, let me throw this at you, because I think this is awkward. Like, we can all say, at the end of the day, he might just accept the bench coach again next year because his son, and he's here, and he's doing right by the organization. But let's say he does a really good job to finish the season. They make it to the National League Championship Series and lose in 5 to the Dodgers. But they got there. They won 2 playoff rounds. And then Dave says to him, I'm still going after Cora. You can have the job if Alex says no. That feels a little disrespectful.
I don't think that'll happen, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I think he has an end with his son being in there. And I think that before that conversation is had with Pops, You workshop that a little bit, and his son is basically saying, that's not about to happen. You're not about to do that. Not after my pops didn't do it. There's the element of that's my dad too. You're a professional,
but it's my dad.
But that's my dad. You know what I mean? And you're not going to disrespect my dad, who should be in the Hall of Fame like that. So they're going to handle this a little differently than we think they're going to handle it, because when you decided to make him the interim, you added that layer. You added that awkward layer to the business part of it. You made it personal in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because that's my father, and this is a business, and I understand that. And I'm in position, and I understand that I'm the GM, but you actually run the thing.
Right.
But that's still my dad.
You said something in there too. Also, he should be a Hall of Famer. Like, we're not talking about just some guy.
Yeah, we're not. Due respect, we're not talking about Topper.
I was about to say the same thing. No disrespect to Rob Thompson, but he's just in the annals of baseball history, he's just a coach, right? He's just one of many. Don Mattingly is one of the most famous baseball people of the last 50
Played
years.
New York.
You're right.
And you're not gonna treat him like that. You're not gonna be like, hey, you know, we wanna date you, but we're gonna see what old girl talking about first.
That's Alex.
Alex's old girl. We're gonna see what she talking about first. And if she ain't trying to come through, then I'm going to call you back.
Yeah, you're
like a plan B. Like, Don's not the plan B.
We can't make Don Mattingly plan B. Not if he achieves, right? If they go out and if they miss the playoffs or something, that's a different story. Then you kind of can reset. But if they make it far, to me, the NLCS is like the line. If they're in the NLCS, he has to be the manager next season. And I think then he would be a lock. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll continue your phone calls on Don Mattingly. Phillies lose last night. But we do have a pair of tickets to give away today to the HBCU Swingman Classic, which now is tomorrow night. We are this close to All-Star Weekend here in Philadelphia. Tomorrow night, HBCU Swingman Classic. Futures game on Sunday. Of course, Monday night, the Home Run Derby. The game on Tuesday. It's going to be an awesome weekend here in Philadelphia. We have a pair of tickets to give away today, and we're going to do a little game we call Hugh's Clues.
Have you seen my dog, Hugh? He's got a brand new clue.
I just want to say I'm you know, the disrespect for Hughes Clues has got to stop.
What?
Because I have been lacing people with tickets all week. I have been blessing individuals with tickets all week. Just because the first couple callers don't get the guests, that's not my fault. Stop being the first couple callers. Maybe if you listen and gather some of the clues.
Hold on, don't tell people to stop being the first. We need first callers in order to have the rest of the callers.
That's true.
Okay.
Stop being the first caller.
Maybe you should listen a little bit better and look at the context clue.
It's 10:45 and you're already in your feelings about how long this is going to go today.
I'm just like Joe, I'm just saying, look at the context clue.
No, I get you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially if you're watching, you got to look, you know what I mean? You got to look at the context clue. All right. This first guess. Or this first clue, I should say. Not the first guess, but the first clue. Is this person
Dynamite.
Portrayed a superhero? You said Dynamite.
This person portrayed a superhero.
Yes. Okay.
That's all you got?
That's it.
Okay. More clues to come as the show goes on. All right, your first clue today for Here's Clues. This person portrayed a superhero. All right, I got a few that come to mind. We'll see where people go with the guesses today. The winner today, the first person to accurately guess who Hugh is talking about, wins a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic coming up tomorrow night, Citizens Bank Park, 7 p.m. is the first pitch of the Classic. J. Roll's going to be there. Ken Griffey Jr. is going to be there. It's a really cool event. We had Milt Thompson a few weeks ago to tell us all about it. So tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Citizens Bank Park, 215-592-9494. Jay in Wilmington is up on WIP. Jay?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Jay, what's up?
Hey, man, you know, you kind of grabbed my attention earlier. I was when we were talking on the screen, I was saying that, you know, Mattingly, I don't know that he is the guy yet, but I think first capturing the division, getting ahead of the Braves, capturing the division does, you know, push him in the right direction. And then obviously how run we can, you know, deep we can run into the playoffs. But right now, as you guys were talking about the upcoming trade deadline, you know, there's a lot to do. They've got to get a bat. They've got to get an arm. They've got to get bullpen help. And I just don't know, without those three pieces, it really gives him a fair shot. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job turning the team around. But, you know, right now we're still behind the Braves, which, you know, getting ahead and winning the division would be a plus in the right direction. And then, yeah, how far can we actually go in the playoffs? And his ability to also manage, because if we do pick up an arm, that gives us a little, you know, mobility with Painter, Lizardo, Nola, as far as moving guys around, maybe, you know, put a couple guys in the bullpen to be able to get some of those long innings to bridge, you know, to get to the ninth. And his ability to manage that and the creativity, I think, is really what's going to matter. But, yeah, I do agree with what you guys were just saying. There's kind of an aspect when your son's in the front office up there. I think there's a little bit more of a push in the direction to keep him on board.
Yeah, it adds to it. I mean, it's certainly a unique situation. And Jay, you know, you mentioned, you know, how he'll use all the tools they give him, right? If they make a move and they get a reliever or two and whatever they do. I mean, that's really been the thing with Topper. Like, he was always a pretty good regular season manager. They won plenty of games. They made the playoffs. But it was always those moves in October that we kept thinking about. It's 2023 Diamondbacks, last year against the Dodgers. So if we don't know if he's the manager until the playoffs, like the long-term manager, we will have a feeling after October of, hey, we want to keep this guy, or hey, I don't know, right? He kind of screwed it up in the big spot. That's really how we define these managers lately.
Well, it is, but I also think, you know, now that we've clawed so close to the Braves, you know, I think a big swing in the pendulum would be, can we catch them? Can we pass them? And then what kind of a cushion can we put between us and them? You know, if we can get ourselves up 6-7 games with still, you know, a bunch of time left in the season, I really think that shows the managing aspect. But you're right, playoff baseball is a completely different season. And how he maneuvers those pieces in those high-pressure situations, because you hit the nail on the head. Topper was a bonehead in the postseason. I mean, he's just sitting there at times thinking, why would you, you know, why? And just screaming, why? You know, and I think with Donnie Baseball, with all of his years of experience, I remember the press conference when he was like, I'm not sure. And then I did hear yesterday after the game, and it's kind of like I think he's, you know, he said he wasn't sure if he had the energy and the other things, but I think with this group, I think with this team, I think with what he's done to this point, you know, I think he is. Yeah, this is exciting.
Yeah,
this is
I think
again.
He's enjoying
but
it
I
again.
I think a lot's going to light on Dombrowski.
Oh, for sure. And the Cora thing, it looms out there. Jay, what do you got for us? Your guess for Hughes Clues, this person played a superhero.
I'm going to say Will Smith and Hancock.
Will Smith. That's not it, but we got ourselves our first guess, and at least it falls in line. I mean, sometimes the first guesses are like out of left field, right? Like they're not even on the same planet as what you're going for. This one, we got. At least we got.
Yeah, we're in the wheelhouse.
Okay, we're in the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You got a prediction on when today we
12
get
12 o'clock.
12 over under 12 o'clock on the winner?
I'm feeling ambitious.
Yeah, well, you feeling did that. Ambitious. You did last time, and then we went over.
But
12
I was kind of. But I was kind of there. But
no.
I was on Kyle.
That's.
I'm tattletaling. That was Kyle's fault.
Oh, because he put the person with the answer on the line but didn't get him up to the top?
Yeah, didn't get him up to the top.
Mm. But he said he didn't know they had it, so that's not really his fault then, would it be?
It is, in my word.
Okay. But I want to unpack one thing that Jay said there.
What did he say?
Well, Jay was talking about the division, right? Catching the Braves, which we had gone to two up. We had now fallen back to two back. We got as close to two. Now we are back to three. You know, as much as we have talked about us catching the Braves, have you noticed something else that's happened in the NL East?
I have not.
The Marlins have caught us. The Marlins, have been the best team in baseball since the beginning of June. And today, when you wake up and look at the standings, as great as the Phillies have done since late April to be within three of the Braves, right? The Marlins are also within three of the Braves. We have the exact same record as the Miami Marlins. So right now, the wild card spots are Cubs have the top spot, and then we are tied, us and the Marlins, for the last two spots. You know, we have to start taking the Miami Marlins seriously?
I think you should, especially when you're in the position you're in and the fact that you need so much. You know, we're still talking about – I don't know if the conversation for a bat has been hot and heavy the last couple of days, but it's still something that's in the back of everybody's mind. We've been mostly talking about pitching. But when you talk about some of the things that we need in the position we're in to get them, yeah, you should be worried about the Marlins. Should be.
It's interesting. I think – it might be the only series they lost since the beginning of June is the one they were here for. Was that like 2 or 3 weeks ago? They were here early in the week. I think maybe the only series they've lost is the beginning of June. They have been red hot. So, I mean, our last caller mentioning, hey, let's catch the Braves. Let's surpass the Braves. I'm all for that. And I think they could. But we also have another team within this division that's playing really well, too. So, you know, the standings are interesting because you can make you have one sense like, oh, they're going to be in first place too soon. And then you have another sense like, hey, if they have a bad weekend, they could be out of the playoff picture right now. 215-592-9494. All right. Do you think Don Mattingly is a lock to be the Phillies manager next season? Hugh Douglas does. I don't. I think he's going to have to go to the NLCS at least to be the manager for sure, because I still think that Dombrowski wants Alex Cora to be the team's manager. Also, on the other side, an idea. Got an idea here to entice LeBron James to the Sixers. And yes, I'm willing to entice him, to do what it takes to get LeBron James. An idea to entice LeBron James and to make him know that we are serious here in Philadelphia about bringing him to the Sixers. 2-1, yeah, that's fine. I can already know crazy. Kyle's going to hate my idea. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Fight Night is here, and there's no better place to trade the action than on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. All right, coming up, we have McGregor and Holloway, and currently, Holloway is trading at 64% to take down McGregor. A $100 trade on Holloway pays out $150.16 on Kalshi. And Kalshi, you're trading its peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you can buy in and out of your position. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. KAL. SHI, Kalshi, trade on anything.